Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Good morning.
Morning, Justin.
Can you guys hear me? All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you. We come to you with grace. Lord, we come to you with the love that we have for you, and we know that you have love for us. Lord, we're here to hear something new and something that'll get us revived for the week, Lord, and get us ready to fight the spiritual war that we're in, Lord. We're here, and we hope that we're here to learn something new about your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, typical Dusty fashion, we're going to jump right into it. So now there are four facts you need to know. There are four facts that we need to know before we talk about our new sermon series. The rest of our sermon series. Fact number one is God has objectively defeated Satan. He has delivered us from sin, penalty, power, and ultimately will deliver us from sin, very presence. That's a fact. You want me to read that again? That was pretty crazy, wasn't it? All right, so fact number one is God has objectively defeated Satan. That's pretty much all you need to know about that. It's pretty cut and dry, correct? It's a good way to start the sermon. Uplifting. Hey. Number two, as believers, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. As believers, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now, these are all going to make a lot more sense later in time, so I would advise you just to write them down. You can think about them later as we talk more. Number three, the spiritual battle that we fight involves a responsibility on our part to put on what? The armor of God. My notes say the spiritual protection, but, you know, whatever. Same thing. So, we can and we will resist the enemy's attempts to deceive us, accuse us, and cast out, and us being cast out, and we will stand firm with our armor of God. First, we need to be honest with God about ourselves and others. Second, responding to the truth that God shows us about His Word. Now, fact number four, the vast and great majority of all spiritual warfare never needs to go beyond the regular practice of living out your position in Christ's faith. That's a big one, but that one's going to be popular next week. So just remember that. You want me to read it again? I really should put this all in the bulletin, right? That'd make it a lot easier. Man, I'm dropping the ball here. The vast and great majority of all spiritual warfare, we'll make this easier. We'll shorten it up a little bit. The great and vast majority of all spiritual warfare doesn't need to go beyond our practice. Okay? I had a fact number five, but I dropped it because who wants five facts? With that in mind, if you will put on the full armor of God, we are here to fight what the devil deceives. Let's open our Bibles up to Ephesians 6. To Ephesians 6. Now, I want to pick up with the original flow of what we've been talking about. That way, if anybody here that has not heard the sermon series, they can jump kind of right in with us. So first off, we learned in verse 10 through 12, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. We've learned command, and we've learned our defensive mechanisms, correct? In verse 13, it says, take up the full armor of God and gird your loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness and stand firm, correct? Now in verse 13, it says, take up this full armor of God, which is a command. So let's jump right into 16 really quick. It says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We're going to stop right at that one real quick. So don't read on because you're going to give away my next topic. Let's stop right there at the evil one. Forget all that. Now, one, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. I know what you're thinking. Nobody shoots arrows at me. This isn't the Dukes of Hazzard. Does anybody get that reference at all? Anybody? Nope, nobody? Okay. But what is the shield of faith? What's it mean to us? I'm going to give you like 3 seconds to think about that. What is the shield to you? The definition of faith in this context is our absolute confidence in God. His promise, His power, and His program for our life. Although it is rooted in the objective reality of the gospel and of what we know as Christ's love. God is justified through faith. And He saved us through faith. So the shield of faith, this is not saving faith. This is the faith in God. God's promises. That when something comes, or those flaming arrows start coming at you, you have something to protect you. Correct? Does that make sense to everyone? So I got that point across. Good. Okay, so has anybody ever sat down and just had something run through your mind really quick that's like completely negative, and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Yeah? I had a buddy of mine tell me one day, he's like, you know, I've been married for 2 years. He acted like that was a big thing, which it is, but, you know, hey, I'm proud. I'm glad. Congratulations. I've been married for 10, which really, to some people in here, really is not that big of a deal either. So, and all I could tell the guys, wait till 4 years. That's where it really gets crazy. That's when she really starts complaining. But anyway, don't take that wrong either. Don't tell my wife that, please. Let's leave that in here. Shouldn't have said that. Anyway, but he said, I was sitting on the couch with her, and we were snuggling up watching a movie. I'm like, boy, you don't have kids. I don't get to watch movies. But anyway, they said we were watching a movie, and all of a sudden she fell asleep. And he thought, oh, that's okay. I'll just sit here and finish watching a movie. And then as he's sitting there, he's like, something just ran through my head where I'm like, she's going to die. And he says, and then I got thinking, how am I going to live without her? And then he got thinking, and then he thought of everything that he could do to save her, and this, that, and the other. And then he's like, well, where did all this come from? And I told him, I said, well, sometimes thoughts enter your head that you can't explain. This is really, I mean, that's like in my focal point here. There's just some things that happens that you just can't explain. Some thoughts. And I truly believe that it is the devil putting it in your head. Because the next thing he knows is, well, why am I going to church every Sunday if this is going to happen? Why am I following Christ? Why would Christ let this happen? So I believe that those are what they consider as flaming arrows. Or in another version, it's flaming darts. There's the thoughts that you have coming into your head all the time that keeps telling you you're not good enough or nobody likes you or why'd this person quit talking to you? Has anybody ever had that happen where somebody quit talking to you and you get frustrated like, why? Happens all the time, right? It's frustrating. Maybe it's because they don't like you. Maybe it's because they're so busy that they have a million other things on their head at that time. You know, I wrote these sermons, and some of them are off of Chip Ingram, and I've kind of inserted some things that he said and some points that he's made that I thought were like irreplaceable that you can't live without because they're really important. To, you know, the way he puts it and the analogy of it's awesome. But the points that I'm making are something that I've came up with. I've worked on this sermon series for quite some time. And over that amount of time, believe it or not, I've had a lot of spiritual warfare going on. It's been very frustrating. Why is he bugging me? I'm trying to do this. Last night, my nieces came over to stay the night, and I'm sitting here and I'm finishing up my sermon, and I can't get my wording right. And what I don't like about it is just, I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I don't like the sermon. That is not my favorite one. Not gonna lie. But I'm sitting here and I'm writing it, and these kids are coming and yelling and screaming, and I'm like, I just need to finish this. Would you just stop? Think to myself, I'm like, well, why am I taking out my anger on them? I'm like, well, why can't my kids go somewhere else? Why can't they go to their house? Why do everybody always end up at my house? And then I'm thinking, I was like, well, this is my last Saturday. I got wrestling meets the next four Saturdays. I don't want to be here doing this and doing that. And then, oh man, I got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning on next Saturday and go to a wrestling meet. And I ain't going to get back till like 5 o'clock. And then I got to, I have to have my sermon done early. And now I'm here fighting all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why am I worried about it? You guys just got an in-depth look in my mind for like an hour and a half. That's an hour and a half in my head. I know nobody might not understand that, but my mind is like a million places, and half of them are pretty much where they don't need to be. Why? Why am I worried about it? Why am I wasting my time thinking that, one, I'm not good enough, or two, this person's angry? You know, I care about people. That's my number one thing. I love people, and I want to show love to people. I'm sorry if I don't always show love. My mind's not here. Now you kind of know what I mean when I say that. I'm everywhere. Number two, then he goes on to say, take up the helmet of salvation. Or literally, it'll also say, receive the helmet of salvation. This is a command for you to take up the helmet. What is the helmet? I wouldn't answer it either, because it could be a bunch of different things. It is the ability to think logically. Logically. To reason wisely, to maintain a biblical worldview in the midst of attacks on your mind and your thinking. To maintain a biblical worldview in the midst of attacks on your mind and your thinking. I'm going to read that again because that's important. All right. Maintain a biblical worldview in the midst of attacks on your mind and your thinking. What does that mean? I have a really good one wrote down here, if I can find my place again. How do you do that? In Romans 12:2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's because it's important, right? Literally, it is the same voice. It says, but allow yourself to be transformed. How? By renewing of your mind. By renewing of your mind. Jump in the Word. Do something. Talk about it. When it says put on the helmet, that means, why are you thinking negatively? Keep your guard your mind for what Christ wants it to be, not what everybody else wants it to be. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. And at this point in time, everybody's like, oh, it's the end of the world. Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I'm not a philosopher. But it is what it is. What can we do? If it is, what's the one goal we want to have? Anybody? Y'all can speak out. What's the one goal? If it's the end of the world, what is our goal? Go to heaven, right? Do you feel like you've achieved that goal? Man, you hope, right? It's important, because you hope you did. Point number three I want to make is, then pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, as many of you guys can tell, I do a lot of walking when I'm up here. My hands are in my pockets. But I always seem to come back around here, and I look at my notes. And usually, if I could find a highlighter, I highlight places where I know I can leave and talk, and then when I come back, I have that highlighted spot on here that I can return. That way I don't lose my place. Well, I ran out of highlighters, so yeah. But listen, pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because what is our greatest weapon? In here, in the armor of God, your greatest weapon is obviously going to be your sword, correct? Because it's really the only weapon you have on. You're not going to take the belt of truth off and hit them with it, right? No, you're going to use your sword, which is the Word of God. This isn't the big, long, heavy sword. This is the two-foot sword that you see in the movies that the Roman soldiers have. It's that big one, you know, that huge one. It's like as tall as they are, and they try to swing that thing around. And, you know, that's what everybody wants to portray it as. But it's not that. The Word of God is so powerful that if you know it, it will help you. It'll help you throughout your life. It'll help you help other people. There's a lot of help in the Word. Now, if you're like me, the reason why I have the notes and the highlighters is because I can't remember anything. I just gave you an insight in my mind for an hour and a half. Now everybody knows why I can't memorize stuff. By the time I leave here, I'll forget some of the points that I've made. So I have to keep the notes, that way I can refer back to them next time. But ultimately, it's not what you know in your head and have memorized, it's how well you know it. I could never get in a Bible verse memorization contest ever. I'm horrible at it. I just don't. But it's okay because I can't remember what I did yesterday either. Believe it or not, what I just told you about yesterday and the thoughts I had to write them down yesterday because I knew the next day I'd forget. And it gets worse, is what they keep telling me. And I'm like, this isn't good. Hopefully I don't forget what I'm doing when I get here. That's not good either. But guys, let me take a poll. Who in here has read the Bible all the way through from front to back? Anybody? Okay. Who knows the Bible from front to back? Okay. Who wants to read the Bible front to back again? Yeah, you do, right? Naturally. Why not, right? Why, something to do. It's interesting. Get you prepared. But if you don't put it to use, what good is it? That's like in, I think it's Ephesians 6:1. It says, obey your father and mother. Well, my kids read that verse all the time. I preach it all the time. But they don't live by it because they never do. We're supposed to obey our Father, which is in heaven, correct? Do we? Do we treat everybody with love? Do we spread the gospel everywhere? How hard is it to spread love to everyone? How hard is it to go and talk to somebody about church? How hard is it to show love to someone that you just don't know? But we walk around and tell everybody we're Christians, but yet we don't do it. I'm just as guilty, guys. I'm not telling you, this isn't a 25-minute sermon where I'm like, you guys are doing it wrong. We all do it. We've done it before. Has anybody not showed love to somebody this week, but you should have? Well, let's raise our hands. We've all done it, right? That's the way it is. Now, I don't mean as you're driving down the road, somebody's standing on the side of the road, you got to pick them up and give them a ride. I don't mean that. What I mean is that phone call of someone that just needs to talk to someone, but you ignore it and you say, I'll call them back later, and then you forget about them or this, that, and the other. Has anybody ever done that? I had a buddy of mine that I missed a phone call and he ended up dying. Granted, I don't know if I could have saved him from what he was doing, but maybe I could have done something. It tore me up for years. It bothered me. I still have people to this day that I wish I would have talked to, that they won't talk to me anymore. I was busy at that time. But is that a reason? Sometimes we get ourselves so worked up at what we're doing that we forget what's important. We forget what's important. You know, I had a pastor one day ask me, he said, what is your order of importance? And I mean, I was just starting out youth pastoring, so of course my answer was God. Boom. Who else? My kids. He said, all right, what's next? My wife's in there, I think. And he's like, well, why is your wife after your kids? I'm like, I don't know. It's just what it's been. Well, maybe it shouldn't be. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he said, now, remind you, I was like just newly married, so you know, it wasn't like I know, you know, if I don't do certain things with my wife that she gets mad at me, like date nights, so we're going on a date after this because it's been a couple months. But I thought, okay, well, God's always first, correct? Is God first in your life? Are we sure? Because you can say it, but is it true? There are some days where I wonder. I wonder if in the church, whole church, not Central Park, the whole church, if God is actually first in people's lives. Because sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we don't perceive it that way. And then I go, and then I get back after God. I go back to my kids are next. Well, why are my kids first? Eventually my kids are going to be grown and gone. Then what? I just got this number three that I'm talking to. Right? Don't tell her I called her number three either. This is really important. It stays in here. But effectively, boy, this sermon's going everywhere. This isn't even on here. But effectively, I can't effectively raise my kids as godly kids if I don't have the help of my wife. And I thought about it. I'm like, man, that makes a lot of sense. And then I was like, well, let's start doing a couple's devotional. So we got a couple's devotional. So we spent time together every night doing that devotional, which was wonderful. She complained that I read slow, but we did great. But the thing was, is we spent that time together. That accomplished two things. That accomplished time together, and it accomplished our relationship with Christ. I would not give the world for my wife. She is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. She holds me accountable for whatever ding-dongy thing I do. She doesn't judge me. She just goes along with it. And that's what you want in a wife, right? It's what you want in a parent, too. You want your parents to let you do whatever you want to do that might be good for you or good for what's going to be better for you. That's what Christ wants, right? He wants his children to grow up and live a godly life. But he also put in that factor where the devil can get to you. That's why he made the armor of God. Now, the armor of God is not something you put on. The armor of God is something literally like something you do, not an outfit you wear. It's something that we learn about and we do. And it's effective. It works. So we're going to go over this one more time because it's important. I have people in the church, every time I get done, they say, oh, I didn't get all them. So we're going to go over it one more time. We're going to go over number one, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. The flaming arrows are what the devil does to you, the thoughts he puts in your head, the little thing that you accidentally do, or something that you, somebody that you should have talked to that you didn't talk to, or a thought that you have in your head that's negative, or something like that. We all get thoughts in our head, but it's all about how we use those thoughts in our head. We can either say, get away from me, Satan, I don't want it, or we can go, ooh, that's a good idea. That's like, does anybody remember like one of the first sermons I did was about a go-kart and I flipped it? Does anybody remember that? That was something that I probably should have went the other direction on. Shouldn't have went over the hill. I should have went, not done it. But that's kind of the same kind of thing. You have those choices you make. You make either make the right choice for God, or you can make the worldly choice for yourself, and then they are not going to clash. There are two different worlds here. All right, number two. See, I already done forgot number two. I got to get back to my paperwork. Take up the helmet of salvation. Take up the helmet of salvation. So that's going to be something that guards your mind, correct? That's going to be something that keeps the devil's attack in your head out. It's going to put your mind always on Christ. Always on Christ. Anybody ever watch a TV show and go, that's not a good one. I shouldn't be watching that. How many of us actually go, okay, I'm going to change it? Or do we continue to watch it? It's like, I'll get better. You just was deceived. Just saying. I've done it. It happens. I try to watch as good a show as possible. Now it's wrestling season, so now it's all wrestling. Which it works, because then I don't have to worry about it. But we got to guard our minds somehow, right? So then it says, pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. The Bible. It is our what? Our most important tool we have. It's what we use against the devil's schemes. It gives us encouraging, yet thoughtful notes to our life. It encourages us. I mean, how much more encouraging could you want? Read the Bible. Story after story, we have these unqualified people that are, God is making amazing, doing amazing works for Christ and freeing people. You got Moses. He killed somebody and he still did something great for Christ. I mean, it just proves that you can do it. Everybody sits here and just goes, I don't want to get involved. I'm not good enough. I don't want to take a Friday night and do it. Or I don't like people. Anybody ever heard that one? I don't like people. But they go to the store. They have no problem going to a bar on Friday night to hang out. But they don't want to come to church. They don't want to take the time out of the day to really listen to what Christ has to say. So today, as the music team comes forward and we end this, I want this to know that Jesus modeled this. You can read all kinds of stuff in the Bible, but it's in there. Don't take my word for it. Read it. It's good. I bought an action Bible for my kids, and it's like a comics, and it's awesome. I mean, it gets them all involved. They like it. They can't read it because the writing is so small, but they like looking at the pictures. That's how they do it, then that's how they do it. It's not my way to judge them on how they learn about Christ. But I know, don't question my kids, because they'll tell you something. They know stuff. And I'm happy they know stuff. They might not know everything, but they know certain things that they're going to be asked. But are we going to, like, not follow what we've been told? Or are we going to do what Christ wants us to do and spread the love of God? To be there for people when they need it. At this time, this is really important, because most of the time we do an invitation and stuff. But today we're going to do the invitation just like that. This is the time where you come forward if you haven't been a Christ believer. Or you want to be baptized. Or you want to learn more about Christ. If you do, talk to someone. We will help you get a better relationship with Christ. We will help you learn about it. I'll hold you accountable at coming to church. I can send out messages all day long. Where was you at? Why wasn't you here? What's wrong? I'll do it. I'm good at it. I like doing that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I can't make you come. You got to want to come. You got to want to learn about Christ. So today, as we sing the last song, we're going to come up. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you want to be baptized, you can come forward. If you want to just put your membership in, you can do that too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here. Lord, I just want you to know that I love you. Lord, we love you. We know that you are the Christ. We know that you are everything that you say you are. Lord, we believe in the Bible. Lord, we believe that you are there for us. Lord, we have unspoken prayer requests. I know we do. And Lord, we pray that you show them your comfort and your love that you have. Lord, we pray that we walk out of here today and we remember that God loves us and that we're supposed to share that love with others. Lord, we know that you are here with us, and we're comforted by that. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.